In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, this is a lively service, and it's going to be even a little bit more lively because of the people that are here, and I hope because we realize that it's okay to be okay. When we were growing up, my brothers and I were fortunate to have some incredible caregivers and role models. They were our grandparents and our great aunts and one great uncle. We were with them almost every Sunday afternoon after church for lunch and spent many summer days and weeks exploring and having adventures. We did not miss the companionship of kids our own age, and we had loads of freedom doing whatever we might decide and getting wonderful food three times a day. I don't do that anymore. Our grandmother and aunts were all wonderful cooks, and all we had to do was show up. And I think the only reminders we were given when we came to lunch was, wash your hands. Everything else we could sit down and enjoy. Now, for the record, our granddad and Uncle Oscar doted on us just as much, but our adventures with them were usually outside, dragging tools around the garden and learning about cows and horses, or telling stories down in the cellar. Granddad sometimes took us to his office where we learned to talk on an old manual Remington typewriter, no spell correct on that, or we got to play hide and seek up and down the courthouse stairs. We never considered that we were learning about service from the best examples that we could have. Here's an example of lunch. If we were at the house where our Lance lived together, Johnny and Billy Becky, there would be the offering of a snack before our new meal, a spread of fried chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy, biscuits, two vegetables they made sure that we would like, and at least three desserts. And once we got done with that, we would have three offerings all during the afternoon. They would bring little treats. So how would you like a little piece of this or a little piece of that? Which explains why there were so many people that showed up in the afternoons to find out what was going on at the Cobb house. And everything that they did was from scratch. After that, there was dinner. And for the record, I was not one to spend much time around the kitchen. It's important that I get any kind of expectation about that out of the way. Our gospel today centers around a chef extraordinaire. More than that, she is a role model and the subject of one of the first stories in Mark. At the beginning of chapter one, the preceding one is where Mark documents Jesus getting things rolling. He calls Simon, Andrew, James, and John and frees the man in the temple who was tormented by an unclean spirit. So they leave the temple and come to Simon's house. And Jesus enters the house, and Simon's mother-in-law is close to death. With just a few words and his touch, his life moves in. What started out as a very sick woman with no strength in her body turns into a kitchen diva with help restored. She is up with energy, queen of her domain. She cooks and gives and cooks and gives. Since I'm not the one who particularly enjoys kitchen time, this is striking. Truth is, I do like the preparation and the cooking part. I'm just not a fan of the cleanup. But I do know here in our midst, we have some great examples of consummate church chips. Julie and so many people that make the best pies and cakes, and I still don't have the recipes, but I'll get them. Others have reputations as cuisine connoisseurs, too. I sort of don't like that we just refer to Simon's mother-in-law as Simon's mother-in-law. She has a name. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to give her one. It's Carice, which is Greek for the word, the Hebrew word charis. It means goodwill, loving kindness, favor, and God's merciful grace. And it's actually the name of the wife of my priest over at St. Christopher's, and she was all of that. Our Carice, with her help restored and invigorated, gets up to cook and serve. She feeds Jesus and the four he called earlier. In the evening, all sorts of people show up. They show up to experience Jesus. And I'm thinking that she cooked for all of them too. Those who were sick, those who were freed from the control of demons, with the strength and vitality that she experienced from the hand of Jesus reached out to lift her, she found great pleasure in serving and in serving all. So many were lined up at her door to experience Jesus. And I've been to that place where Simon's, the house where he was, and I can tell you that the space between the door and the next house across was as much as from here to our altar rail. Not very much, but they were all over. So can you imagine the excitement and enjoyment experienced this evening? Can you imagine the sheer delight that she must have felt? I'm pretty certain that others pitched in and pick up dishes and help and clean, because they had experienced life too. This was a big party that none of us could ever have ever imagined in life and healing. You're not blind anymore. Here, have some matzo soup. Oh, all of y'all have just had an experience. I've got some great challah bread ready. There's plenty of potato latkes for all. I can just imagine her, because I've seen some ladies like that. The promise of restoration is a promise of participation in God's work. It is the promise that Jesus gives to us all, and it's part of our life experience here, especially at Christ Church. There are some who place Carice, Simon's mother-in-law, as the first deacon in the church. I agree with them. And I know that it is not exactly lined up with the words in Philippians, where Stephen is recognized as the first deacon and as the first martyr of the church. But as long as the presbyter patrol doesn't show up here today, I'm keeping this perspective. And there are more deacons like her all around. A bunch of them are here at Christ Church. So much is done freely by so many who simply give. Some of them will be at Feed My Sheep tomorrow. Some of them put in great effort to make our worship happen. Some of them made our breakfast today. Some are in our choir. Some of them are always quick to volunteer and support. Some consistently show up and simply bring life. For all who are quick to respond to need, there's something more to consider. The passage from Mark does not stop at the wonderful experience at Simon Peter's house. And it doesn't stop there for good reason. We learned that after all that had happened in this day, Jesus, early the next morning, goes up to pray. And that's not a simple consideration. It is the intention and emphasis that he places as part of his own restoration in his community with Father and Holy Spirit. We all need this time with our Father and Jesus and Holy Spirit in our lives for connection, for encouragement, for strength, and for stamina. I'm going to close by recommending a book that I was given several months ago. It has touched me in many ways, and I continue to use it as a way to restore my perspective. It is a good one to share with your younger kids, and I've given a few of these away. I will be giving more to our bingo group at the Kyle Hotel in a couple of weeks. And by the way, so many deacons made the Christmas party such a huge success, we're taking the opportunity to do it again for Easter. So check your bulletin and join us. So this is the book. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. And it has wonderful, simple pictures. It has great sayings. I'm not going to tell what the mole likes to eat all the time because it's really special. The boy and the mole are sitting on the branch. I know a lot of y'all can't see it, but that's all right. The mole asks the boy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "Kind," says the boy. So with that kind, with the restoration, with the way that the Spirit can pick and move in us, I'm going to say, let us all grow up and continue in this world, a world in great need, to be kind. Amen. Amen.